Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is brought to you by VividSeats.com. VividSeats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. We would love playing music at home and jamming with friends, but there's something special about getting out there in the crowd of your favorite band's show. VividSeats wants to help you see your favorite bands in concert, from classic rock to heavy metal and everything in between. VividSeats is your source for concert tickets at a great price. And today, the deal is even sweeter, as Vivid Seats are offering Guitar Nerds listeners an exclusive discount. Just go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter promo code Guitar Nerds, one word, for 10% off your first ticket order. The offer is good through to the end of August and for first-time customers only. There's no better way to catch your favorite bands and guitarists than being there in the crowd, experiencing it live. Vivid Seats will help get you there with promo code Guitar Nerds for 10% off your first order. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Matt Knight.
I'm drinking a beer.
That's wonderful news. And this week, I really wanted to try to answer more questions from the Facebook group, as we have a lovely group, and you people deserve to be acknowledged by me, the newly appointed Lord of Guitar Knowledge.
I guess we should speak more about guitars. I feel last week was maybe...
It was quite an effects-heavy podcast.
I don't know if we actually talked about a guitar.
I think there was maybe one in the news, but yeah, there were those exotics, the new exotic relics, but of course, exotic mainly known as a pedal company, so even that was tainted by effects pedals. But there have been some really strong discussions in the Facebook group over the last week or two, so it'd be nice to dive into those. And also, there's only a little bit of news this week, so it makes sense for me to mine your queries for content. But
speaking of the group, I sorry to interrupt there, Joe.
No, go.
As a way to try and hold back the flood of fake accounts that we get trying to join the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, I added some entry questions that new people now need to ask if they're going to join the group. And nothing difficult and nothing personal either. Just so that we can work out exactly who understands the group that they're joining and who just thinks that they will join a group to try and sell some dodgy Ray-Bans. And the questions that I've asked are: what is your favorite guitar brand, and are you aware of the Guitar Nerds podcast? And I would say maybe 50% of the people that asked to join the group are aware of the Guitar Nerds podcast, just aren't a member of the group. So I would say to any listeners out there, if you are a listener and you haven't joined the group before, come on in. Come on in, gang.
It's
lovely.
Come on in. I honestly think it's one of the best places to talk about guitars on the internet.
Absolutely.
There is no, there's like, everybody's dead nice. We do a lot of work in trying to keep the spam out. So any videos where people jump on in and just say, oh, here is a video of me playing Flight of the Bumblebee. Actually, if there was a video of people playing Flight of the Bumblebee, we'd probably leave
we'd
it
probably
in.
Keep that.
I think that's cool.
I'd only want to see it if someone was playing Flight of the Bumblebee while flying around on a bumblebee.
I'm not sure that's vegan.
Oh yeah. It's like that's that big. Yeah, yeah.
But no. It's worth it. In this the twilight age of Facebook, I'm sure Facebook won't be here as a platform in the next 6 to 12 months. So jump on it whilst it's still there, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm glad that you're already planning for the off-world voyage of this thing that we've built up.
We'll see you all on the new Snapchat forum.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Yeah,
that's the... Now, it's the only thing that the kids are on these days. But
maybe
speaking
we'll do the whole podcast on Snapchat stories, just hundreds.
That,
and hundreds
that inevitably
of
will be the end result of this. I mean, who honestly is listening to pre-recorded audio? You think no one listens to radio anymore? Surely the podcast is in the twilight of its time, being a relevant source of information when you can get everything you need from Snapchat.
I went to bed a little bit early yesterday and I stuck the radio on before I went to sleep. I was listening to the Ian Lee show, which is great. Ian Lee, who, if you haven't listened to it, Mark and I did an interview with Ian Lee. I think it went out on the main channel. I don't think it was Patreon. Maybe a year ago, probably not quite that long. Ian Lee's great. And since we did the interview with him, he obviously ended up, this is more for British listeners, he was in, went on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and was in the jungle. But yeah, we did an interview with him. Yeah, I guess it's maybe a year ago. He's a really, really nice bloke, and he does this completely mad radio show. So I was listening to that yesterday, and it is very, very cool.
Yes,
but absolutely. You're right. In general, I think people are mainly listening to podcasts. Mainly this podcast. If the numbers are anything to go by, that's what people are listening to nowadays.
Absolutely. Most other podcasts don't have the incredibly high listenership of this one. So much so that this week, I think both you, Jay Cross, and you, Matt Knight, received some gifts in the post in the form of strings, both from different companies. Tell me about that, Matt Knight.
Yep, at Summer NAMM, ran into my friend Scott, who runs Stringjoy out of Nashville. We met at Winter NAMM 2017.
So, talk to me. What is Stringjoy as a brand? They make strings. What makes
them
unique?
They hand make strings. So they don't. They still make obviously a lot of strings, but they, I think, put a little bit more care and attention into their strings. Scott is very into the science of strings. So things like their 6-string set, which they sent me, they're all like as standard, like what we would call balance tension. So 10 to 48 on the 10s, or 10 to 52 if they do a light top heavy bottom, or 11 to 50 on the 11s, which are the ones I like. But what's nice on his website is you can actually subscribe to Stringjoy, and you can buy an electric, acoustic, or a bass guitar string subscription. What strings you want, how often you want them, and you can actually put together like a bundle that you want on a regular basis. And you can also completely customize sets as well, which I think is really, really nice.
Now that is fantastic. I think in this age, as you know, pedal boards get bigger, people move more towards boutique brands, you know, extended range, fan fret, multi-scale. Everything's going boutique and everyone's really finding their own voice and their own individual tack on things so much more than before. It makes sense that you'd be able to get your own set of strings.
And you can buy them. There are distributors throughout sort of Europe and the US. They are primarily, I think, at the moment, a US company, and not something I've seen in stores, but I think they rely, or a lot of their business is based on the kind of repeat ordering through subscriptions. And actually, yeah, they do everything on subscription, but they're just really nice strings. Once again, I think the balance tension feel for me makes a big difference.
You've really bought into that since Daddario introduced it a couple of years ago. You've really been sold on it.
I used the Daddario strings. I thought they were absolutely fantastic. And then I met Scott at NAMM. He sent me some strings, tried them out, absolutely loved them. And then because I don't change my strings that often, because I've got a few guitars and, you know, it just takes a while for them to kind of wear down. And then I finally ran out and I think I swapped to Rotosound, which I really didn't like. I thought they were a relatively dull sounding string for me.
Right, and they also obviously don't do it. Like Daddario are the only major who have invested in this the concept of balanced tension.
Yeah, exactly. And then,
and if anything, they're not actually Daddario's most popular string at all. Like the balanced tension is sat very much in the background for them.
They're a bit more money though, aren't they?
They are a little bit more money, but these strings
But if you think Ernie Ball have made such a massive impact with the Paradigms, and that's an expensive set. You're looking at £13. I don't know what they are in dollars at the moment.
Are they more? I get you would know this better than we would, being sort of on the front line. But are those Paradigms more popular than like the NYXLs?
I would imagine anything that Ernie Ball do is more popular than anything Daddario do. I actually think, like on that topic, I was talking to someone at work about this, and they were asking why we sell so many more Ernie Balls than Daddario. And I actually think it's kind of down to, I think Daddario strings are fantastic, and they really, really give Ernie Ball a run for their money. I wouldn't like to say who's better, but I really like Daddario strings. I think they just make it very complicated. I think their complicated naming system and their very subtle color system and just the massive amount of variation they do is a real negative. Ernie Ball have kept it really simple, really obvious, and really easy to know what your gauge is and what you're choosing. And I think that's just led to Ernie Ball being as popular as they are. I think strings are the last thing people want to, worry about, get concerned about. They want to
But I think in one way, this the nice thing about these guys is that if you want to experiment, all that stuff is there. I really like on the website when you go to these, they tell you what the core material is, what the shape of the core is, what they're wrapped in, and what the shape of the wrap is as well. And then they break.
That's
and
cool.
Then if you don't know what they are, they've got a bunch of videos and a bunch of explanation about it as well, so you can learn a little bit more about the strings and what they do. And yeah, I think it's just nice that you can actually like customize your sets and have them delivered. But you don't have to order like 20 sets. You don't have to go, oh, I really want to try like 10 to 90s. And I have to buy like 20 sets because otherwise the company can't do it. It's like they'll just do like a one-off set.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think that's really important, especially for like everyone wants to try out new stuff and it's expensive and difficult to do that.
One thing they did a little while back, which is great, and they still do every now and then, is new string sets or what they should do next or what should be the next product. They actually put it out to a public vote through their mailing list. So they'll give you like, what should we do next? Should we do a different accessory? Should we do a set of strings for ukulele? Should we do a set of strings for multi-scale Strandbergs? And then people vote, and then they kind of go all the way down on a vote system, so they know what they're making is what
that's
people
fantastic
want.
Well, what a wonderful way to get your community involved in your brand as well. I think that's really important, especially for boutique companies, because you don't have access to that larger audience, just to make sure everyone is super involved in what you're doing and make the most specific product you can to your audience. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're in the US, definitely worth trying some out. And if you like them, get them on subscription. In the UK, you do have to, at the moment, either order them from a dealer in Europe or order them straight from the US. But it's definitely worth trying a few sets, I would say.
Yeah, still super cool. Jay Cross, you actually got some strings from a completely different manufacturer. From one in the UK, I believe, and you got some for me there as well.
For you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll keep them.
You don't own a Base 6.
Well, if you can make me a good offer, then we'll see what we can do.
I thought you were going to say make me a tea. If you can make me a tea,
make me a cup of tea.
I know there isn't any tea. Right, there
is no tea. So I got a package from Newtone Strings. From a really nice guy called Neil Silverman, who
I really wanted his name to be Newton.
Well,
he'd just add an E and made his company Newtone.
Interesting you should say that, Joe, because Neil is actually the second person to run Newtone Strings. He took over the company in 2015 from the person who started the company in 1985, who was called Malcolm Newton.
Yes!
So you're completely correct. That's exactly where the name came from.
And it's exactly why I would have Brand Tone
Effects
if that hadn't already been taken.
Yeah. But Neil got in touch and he said, wanted to know if you wanted to check these out. And he asked what gauge we use. And I had a look on his site and I saw that they did some bass six strings. And I really hate to admit this because, of course, it means that I have to be open about the fact that I did, in fact, listen to your interview with Blake on the Tone Mob podcast the other day.
Fantastic interview. Go and listen to it now.
Well, not quite yet. Maybe after the end of this podcast. But I listened to that and you were lamenting the fact that you struggle to play your bass six regularly because you want to drop tune it and there's such a limited number of bass six strings you can get on the market. So one of the things I saw was that Newtone strings actually do a set of bass six strings. And so I got them for you. So they are gauge 24 to 100, which I have to say is a nice round number. And I think that they, I haven't opened them up yet because they're in, the packaging's lovely actually. It's like, it looked quite premium, but it's also got, you don't compromise on that sort of like handmade finish. So that's really cool.
Very much gone through a sort of 50s kind of logo, that sort of logo.
And there's also, gas station logo, I think is a good way to describe it. And also some electric strings, some 10s and some 11s. We got some bass strings and we got a couple of sets of acoustic strings. So we'll have to find someone who knows what an acoustic guitar is because I don't think that's any of us.
Jay, I heard at one point you had a mini guitar. You still got that?
I do still have that. I still have my baby Taylor, Taylor that I bought.
Yeah, that one.
That baby Taylor that I bought. Yeah,
Did you steal that from Mark Packham?
Listen, Joe, steal is a very fierce word.
I gave it to you in payment for moving house.
That is what happened. Right, yeah, he gave it to me as payment for moving house.
He paid you to move away from him.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Yeah, that's why I'm no longer JBM1, I'm BM41. Mark Packham gave me a guitar. No, but I'm really excited to check these out. We'll see how they are.
On the topic of the bass six and the bass six strings, actually the acquisition of these Newtone bass six strings got me thinking about my bass six and how much I love playing with them. I love bass sixes. They sound great. They're so good when you're just running them through tons of effects. And I just think I would really like to start using it more. Like I've just, finished the last Polymath album. We'll be writing new stuff. And whenever we're writing new stuff, that's when me and Tim, the guitarist, tend to break our boards down and then start again from scratch with new stuff.
Do you not tour the record before?
Well,
we
are touring the record at the moment, but when we start, we'll start to write soon, and we can do that on anything else because we tend to write at one of the other ones' houses, so we can we'll build like a board for writing, and we can use different instruments or try different tunings. And I'd really like now that we have an organ player, so a lot of my fundamentals can be dealt with by him.
They can kick you out.
Essentially, they could kick me out.
Now that they've got like what's your organ play like? Are they nice?
Yeah, he's really
okay.
Nice,
so that's plus one on you. Can they drive?
No.
Oh, yes. He can't.
I think he can drive.
He can drive. Okay, so that's plus two on you.
He's from West Virginia.
Okay, so American, offering a slightly different demographic. And what's he like as a person? Nice geezer?
Oh, yeah, he's lovely.
I mean, Joe, I have to say that's 4 out of 4. So I'm afraid you might as well jump before you get pushed.
I do feel that pressure on my back at the moment from the rest of them. But I was thinking it would be great to experiment more with the bass six. And I was kind of looking at it. I was like, these Squire Vintage Modified bass sixes, they really weren't put together very well at all. So I'm going to fit these new strings. I'm going to have the whole thing sorted out. So I'm going to change that bridge for one of those Mustang bridges so that it can actually be intonated and it can actually sound half decent, stay in
tune.
My only concern
there is whether you would be able to fit a gauge 100 string through one of those Mustang bridges. In fact, I actually have my Mustang right next to me. Let me have a look. My Mustang's an offset and it's a Strat bridge. Sorry.
Yeah. Of course it is.
I'm thinking of my old Mustang, which did have a Mustang bridge, and I can't remember what the bridge is. But no, you don't want a strap bridge on there.
Well, we'll see. I think it could work out for the better. But also, I'd like to have the whole thing refinished, really. So I'm thinking because I've got the Sunburst, but obviously it's a cheap poly Squire Sunburst, so it looks okay, but up close it really looks a bit fake. So I'm thinking of a refinish. I'm undecided on what to do. I was thinking like a dirty shell pink.
Oh,
nice.
But it would have to be, do you know what I mean? Like, it has to be like, I really am not 100% on shell pink on a lot of bases. It's like, I really like it, but it's a bit too pastel. It needs to be a little bit dirty. So I was thinking, I was thinking a dirty shell pink or butterscotch. But if I got butterscotch, I'd have to get a black plate for it. And I don't know where so I'm sure I could get one from the Pit Guardian. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Also, basics pickups. I'm thinking the Squire pickups probably aren't 100%. And I'm wondering about like Jaguar pickups and whether or not I can just retrofit a good set of Jaguar pickups there.
I'm not sure that's what you really want to be doing, because the basics is three single coils, isn't it?
Well, they are Jaguar looking pickups.
There's only two pickups on a Jaguar.
That's true, but I don't use the bridge pickup on my basics. I just use their neck and middle. So I could get a plate cut that ignores that pickup.
Like a really weird music master.
Yeah, that would be cool. Anyway, I'm not 100% decided on exactly what I'm going to do, but it's certainly going to be my project over the next little while. I think I'm going to take it into the shop over the next couple of weeks, I think. Maybe I'll wait for the next payday, but certainly I'm going to update the group. I will be having it refinished in the next month. I'd actually love everyone's input on that. I have narrowed it down to those two colours, butterscotch or a dirty shell pink. Which way do I go? But it would be great to find out what everyone thinks, and if anyone has any suggestions. Matt Knight, you've also bought, I know we said we wouldn't talk too much about effects pedals.
But it's difficult.
You have actually bought even more effects pedals than last week when we spoke.
Well, I only bought a few things. Some things I got sent. But I finally started, I was like, you know, it's been a long time coming. The Down Electro food collection is complete.
Oh no.
What is next? And got to go down the 7 series. Open a 7 series.
Yes.
It's the next one.
Which series is the 7 series? Are these the grey ones?
Series.
Yeah, the Tone Lock series with the knobs that you can push in.
Which actually, at the time, I actually thought was a really good design. I think the battery compartment's really good. I like the fact that you can push the controls in and then you can't touch them from that. They're a solid build, and they did a whole range of pedals, and I always remember a few from the shop days, and I always remember one that always kind of like struck out, and that was the PM7 phase modulator, which is the one that I ended up buying. Watched them for ages, and then this one came up for like next to no money. I was like, I'm just gonna buy it. I don't know whether it's analog or digital. I'm pretty sure it's analog. Either way, it sounds wicked. It's got three different phase modes, like a sine wave, a square wave, and then a super fast sine wave, and then three different types of phasing: 4-stage, 8-stage, or 12-stage, I think. And it's just a whole range of sounds. It goes from super slow phaser all the way to like ring modulator.
Oh, awesome.
It's really great. But the thing I really love is it does subtle really nicely, and it just sits in a mix like perfectly. So you can kind of leave it on, get some movement to some stuff that you're doing without it like overtaking your entire signal. So I was really glad, and I was like, right, gonna have to get the rest of them now. That's it. Gonna have to
How many are in the series?
20?
Oh, blimey.
Most of them, I would say, it's a bit like the Dan Electro one. Most of them go for 20 to 30 pounds.
Is that it? Really?
Some of them go for a little bit more.
Well, I mean, they're probably all going to go for a little bit more now, Matty.
Yeah, I know. D7 is the one that tends to go for the most.
What's that then? That's distortion?
That's the delay. The delay echo.
Oh, okay.
Which the...
What is it, sorry?
JHS...
AD7?
DE7. DE7? Which is what the DE...
For delay.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
For delay. Yeah, the JHS Pink Panther is based off that and a mixture of that and a DD5. Actually, that kind of like the late, I guess, early 2000s digital delay where everything was really pristine sounding and... But well, for the time, it was pristine sounding. Now it sounds like an old digital delay where obviously like the quality of digital delay has got way better. And then it sort of sounds like a mixture between a digital delay and, an analog delay in some way. They made, I'm just going to just find it here, AP7 analog phaser, auto wah, stereo chorus flanger, delay, distortion, fuzz, lo-fi, phaser, phase modulator, Seventh Heaven, which was their distortion pedal specifically aimed at seven string players.
Quality.
The Smashbox, the Tri-Mode Chorus, the Tube Screamer, the Weeping Demon Jr., and then for bass, they also made the bass synth and the Fat Head. I think both the Fat Head and the Seventh Heaven may have been used by Korn at some point. I think the lo-fi was in there at some point. But Great. They did make a very limited green TS-7 Tube Screamer, because obviously most of the boxes were grey. And they made an extremely limited edition pink DE7.
Now that's what we've got to get hold of.
I know. I've never, ever seen one on eBay. And because I'm going to Japan in about a month's time, I think I might make it my mission to try and find one. Looking forward to picking up a few of those. And then I also picked up, finally, an Electro-Harmonix random tone generator.
Ah, yes. The classic.
Yeah.
For shoegaze bands, it's absolutely the alternative to having a guitarist.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got a crazy idea. So I've got one small space under the tier on my pedal board, and the ES8 has got two inputs, which you can then program to switch between on a button. So I think what I'm going to do is just program any patch, you can just press a button and it will just switch to the random tone generator. So if I really can't be asked to play guitar and I just want to
if you
noise,
can have a break and still
I
make
just,
noise.
I'll just switch in the old random tone generator and just let that do all the work.
Fantastic. Top what banana. A wonderful solution. Right, gentlemen, I think we should dive headfirst into some news. Here's the jingle. News. So, on the news this week, only a few bits. Three mere articles in the news. We'll start off with Jay Cross. Jay, it's new release week for Fender, as they have been wont to every 4 weeks for the rest of this year. They're putting out something from their Parallel Universe series. What do we have this time?
This month's Parallel Universe guitar is the Thinline Super Deluxe Tele, which is the orange thin line Tele with block inlays and a sort of silvery tin foily, no, not, yeah, like crumpled tin foil pearlescent scratch plate with some pickups that I don't know, they're very unique. I've never seen them. Anything
it's
similar.
It's a Gretsch Telecaster, isn't it?
What are you talking about? It's a Gretsch Telecaster. It. Now that you mention it, I can see a passing resemblance, but...
So this model, which is obviously, as with everything Parallel Universe, they're all inspired... Well, generally speaking, most of the Parallel Universe have been inspired by other guitars that...
Well, I don't actually think that's the idea behind the Parallel Universe. The Parallel Universe
it's
more like, well, it's the idea of a Parallel Universe. So what guitars would have been created had, you know, the butterfly effect changed something very, very slightly.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool. I got a chance to pick one of these up at NAMM. Really, really cool. The same, I think they're the same pickups that are in the Triple Jazz Master, which was also shown at NAMM. I think they're the same pickups. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, they do have that real sort of gritty, sort of distorted, like crunchy rockabilly type sound. One of the only pickups where I have ever done anything with the volume control, because I think this style of pickup is particularly sensitive to volume. Like you can clean up your volume quite nicely with them. Clean up your tone a little bit just by rolling the volume back just a hair. That's something that I used to do with my when I owned a Gretsch. Absolutely never. It was something that you could do should you choose to. I think this is great. I think it looks cool. It plays fantastic. And it's for people who want that kind of rockabilly aesthetic, but don't want to have a massive. I've made a complete error. They're TV Jones pickups. They're not the same ones that are in the. They're TV Jones. Wow. Sorry, my mistake. That has passed me completely by. I do apologise. I'm glad that I decided to double check on the website. They're TV Jones. How about that? That is TV Jones Classics. So very cool.
One only available in the Gretsch Orange? Is it just one finish? Because some of the other stuff in the Parallel Universe, there have been various colours. Certainly that Jazzmaster Telecaster that they did was available in like Sunburst and a surf green.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, this is only in only in this orange. It really does have that sort of Chet Atkins vibe. I really like it. I think it's dead cool. I've said a number of times, I owned a Gretsch for a while, and it was just the size of it that I couldn't get on with in the end. I think this is a great compromise for people who want that sound but want a smaller body.
Yeah, definitely. A super cool mix of both, and kind of has that Cabernet-y vibe to it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Matt Knight, there have been some new very, very cool amps out this week from a company that we don't often, maybe never on the podcast, talk about.
Yeah, Rivera Amps. And actually, there is a cool story which I've never delved massively into, but I did do a bit of reading about it. So Paul Rivera has been working on amps since about 1976 in California, where he's made amps under his own name. But he did actually work for Fender at a point where he was marketing director, and he actually designed some of the amps himself. I think he redesigned the Princeton, and I think it was part down to him where a lot of the kind of reissue series started to come out of. And he did a range of Fenders all the way up until CBS sold the company. So there's a whole bunch of kind of Rivera Fenders out there that I know people have always been like, oh, that's like a Rivera. It's a bit like the Dan Smith era reissue Strats. It's like a whole issue of Rivera kind of Fenders. But his own company's been making amps for a number of years, and their Clubster Royale recording series is their sort of affordable dual channel valve amp that's got full recording output on the back. So you've got no EQ out if you want to go into a interface for impulse responses. You've got internal load for silent recording. You've got 6 different speaker voices, balanced outputs, ground lift, phase control, effects loop, half power switch, headphones. So like everything you want for a home use amp. Dual channel, which has got a clean and a lead. It's a really cool amplifier. 55 watts EL34s or 25 watts with 6V6s, 12-inch speaker.
Cracking.
Yeah,
it's a head or a combo as well.
They do a head or a combo. I guess if you're mainly thinking for recording purposes with the load box inbuilt, probably the head is the best choice. But really cool because the cleans are really nice and sparkling. Drives are really kind of rich, like driven Fender-esque sounds, I guess you would say. It's not like I wouldn't necessarily say like a Marshall, but. The cleans are always super nice on these amps. So yeah, it's a really nice addition to their lineup. And just giving you all those recording options. Funny enough, when I was on eBay the other day, a Princeton recording amp.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue.
Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Came up, which I think had the same sort of idea as this, but this gives you every single option that you could want without having to buy an external recording device.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, they look fantastic. One of the things that really struck me about this amp was just that it's such a modern piece of equipment, and they've done such a fantastic job of making it look incredibly retro and super cool as well.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it looks a really nice little amp. They are kind of available in UK. I think there's maybe one or two dealers. Maybe not as well known as most people know. Guitar, I think, are one of the few dealers, but only a couple of select stores. Definitely worth checking out if you get the chance. And if you want a cool recording amp with a Fender-esque clean sound, it's definitely worth checking one out.
Absolutely. GNL guitars, Leo Fender's final foray into guitar
building. His birthday this week.
It was indeed, as you pointed out, just before we started recording, actually. I was not aware.
I was trying to make it sound a little bit more spontaneous, actually.
Yeah,
but...
sorry. Oh, yes, of course it was.
Should we try that again?
Yes, yeah, we'll do that again.
Okay. You'll edit all this bit out, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was his birthday this week.
Oh, my goodness. Fancy that. Leo Fender, another year older. How's he doing? Anyway, GNL, who were Leo Fender's final foray into guitar building, and actually the least recognised or certainly least spoken about in comparison to, of course, Fender and later Music Man. GNL, still, despite absolutely the worst headstock you'll ever see, do make some fantastic guitars, and they have added to this with their American-built CLF Research Skyhawk. The Skyhawk was something that was put out in the 80s by GNL, and very much it was Leo Fender's recreation of the Stratocaster in kind of a modern, at the time, in more of an 80s feel. So it's slightly offset. It has a much bigger bottom, and a lot of the hardware and the switching is kind of has a more modern feel to it. I mean, very much, I think this for me is somewhere between Music Man's Saber and a Fender Stratocaster in kind of its aesthetic and everything else about it. But
I think they look a lot like the PV T60s. You know, those kind of the guitar version of the T40. I think it is. Is that
absolutely. I very much see that in it.
I always really like those guitars and those basses, and I think this looks kind of, it's got that kind of, like, you know, it's just the bottom looks a little bit too big for the top, but it works, you know.
It's certainly cool.
I really like them.
Certainly cool, very, very 80s, but a really kind of a cool Strat alternative. And the pickups that they were designing, they were the Leo Fender MFD pickups that went in the original, the old Skyhawk. They've added these again, but this time they've added what they're calling a pickup expander, which should allow you to get some more retro Stratocaster tones out of the guitar, as well as the quite overpowered and aggressive tones you'll get from the from the single coils that are there at the moment. But a super cool guitar available in Gold Fire Mist, which is very fetching, as well as Tobacco Sunburst and like a natural ash and a clear blue. But a cool guitar, kind of rare to see GNL's American line being rejuvenated, because of course I think more that company focus on their budget line. So this isn't one of the cheapest in the GNL lineup. I think they're expecting these to hit the shelves at around $1,700.
Oof, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money for a GNL, isn't it? But I mean, you know, it's an American built guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
in
poly finish, which is a bit of a shame, but, yeah, but I mean, you know, whatever, you boys charge that for a polyfinished guitar.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose.
But yeah, a really cool alternative to a Strat if you're in the market for something a little bit different and you don't mind rubbish headstocks. But that is, that's actually all we have on the news. So I would really like it if we we do some questions, if we take some questions from the group, because there are some really interesting ones this week. Here is the questions jingle.
Questions.
So this week we actually have a bit of a two-parter as our first question from Luke Thompson. A two-parter.
Oh, okay.
What did you?
Don't worry. Don't worry.
you know.
Spoonerisms. Luke Thompson says, hey guys, I'm looking for a new amp and I'm wondering if anyone had any suggestions. The criteria is it has to be 40 watts plus. Has to be tube, valve, has to be a combo, decent headroom, he'd prefer single channel, and also he's not too crazy about boutique amplifiers that are impossible to get outside of the country that it's made in. So he's looking more at mainstream brands that he can pick up easily online or in his local store. But there were plenty of suggestions there, and he followed up about a few days after that, saying, so I've narrowed down my new amp to four possibilities, and I was wondering what people would pick and why out of these choices. But before we go into these four choices, I thought Matt and Jay, let's talk about some suggestions, and then we'll compare them to the four choices that that he's made. What are you thinking?
I know what his four choices are.
I know.
I realize
I've left them in the. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Well, I might as well say then. Right. I might as well say, and we'll talk around them from there. The four choices he narrowed it down to were a Fender 68 Custom Twin, Marshall JCM 800, the 50 watt combo, a Marshall JTM 45. He's put clone or Marshall reissue, which is a bit vague. A Seriatone, I don't know these, OTS 50, which is a Dumble clone, apparently.
We actually mentioned that brand very briefly a few podcasts ago, and I thought they were like crazy money, but maybe I'm thinking of something different. There was a brand that came out with like a Dumble-esque clone, and they were like $6,000, so I'm pretty
sure. That's right, but it was a one-off hand built.
What was that? That wasn't this company, I don't think.
These ones, just so we know, so we've got an idea of what sort of price he's talking about, are about sort of $1,200, I guess. Yeah, about $1,200, let's say. So we got a rough idea of what he's looking to spend. 68 Princeton is sort of 800 to 900. So I guess we say anything up to 1,000?
No, they're more than that, Matt. More than that, unless you're looking secondhand, are you?
I would say we can happily look around the sort of 1,000 and a bit above.
Yeah.
I think that's quite fair.
That's kind of like pro without being ridiculous, right?
Yeah, that's pro, but something that you're still happy to take to a gig.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I guess there's quite a wide variety of sounds in there, like in terms of they all sound quite different. One thing that I think I'm actually really into at the moment, I was looking at, because I always remember them sounding really good, and he mentioned it on there, like a JTM 45, like a Bluesbreaker, 1974X.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, so but they're 18 watts. 18 mate, watts. Yeah.
You can gig with that. Dan Grace.
Yeah, you can. You can. But he's asked for a lot of headroom and he's asked for 40 watts.
40 watts. The only thing for me is 40 watts.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
So loud.
It's a weird one.
So loud.
40 watts plus, you're saying that a Vox AC30 is not loud enough for you. But I guess it's wanting the headroom. I mean, I would, if anyone ever said I want a loud combo, I'd be pointing them towards an AC30, surely.
Yeah, I think that probably,
I actually picked an AC30, yeah.
Also, you know, you could look at something like, if you want to go down the Marshall route, there are things like the 1962 Blues Breaker. They're 30 watts, 212 combos.
Are they only 30 watts, those?
Yeah, they're not huge.
Crikey. It's a loud 30 watts.
It's a loud 30 watts. And I'd say the 1962 Blues Breaker, I mean, come on, that is like an ultimate amp. Like, I'm not sure you can get better sounding than that from a Marshall perspective. That would be a fantastic purchase and you know, comes in at around the amount of money he wants to spend.
Got to be a combo, right?
Yeah, it's got to be a combo.
I would disagree with you there, Joe. I think the 1974X sounds better than the Blues Breaker.
Yeah, I think you can drive the 74 a little more. I like the tremolo on it.
Which I guess is not what Luke's after here. What Luke wants presumably is the headroom, which is why they're asking for such high watt. 40 watts just is mind boggling to me. It's so loud. I'm sure there's people yelling at their wind-up radios here saying, you know, sorry, that wasn't meant to sound disparaging. There's people saying like, oh no, you know, I've got my dual rec and it's like, I wouldn't live without it or whatever. But I can't imagine a situation where you need that much power.
I mean, it depends how clean you want your tone. But
sure,
yes,
yeah,
I do.
Course, yeah.
I do agree.
But if you want a clean tone, then go for, you know, why not look at a good solid state amp?
Well,
look at a JC40.
Absolutely.
Yeah, JC40 or look at one of those.
Hot Rod DeVille.
Mark Bates. Yeah, Hot Rod DeVille maybe. I mean...
Hot Rod Deluxe.
I mean,
really,
get the 410, the 410 Hot Rod DeVille. Like, why
They are discontinued now.
Yeah,
the
you can pick them up. You can pick them up,
sure.
Though.
But unlike the 68 Twin, which is an amazing amp, but you can't pick it up.
You do need two people.
It's, oh man, that like I've talked about this a lot in the past. You know, I had a Twin for a while, and I took it to one gig, and on my way home from the gig, I stopped back at the shop at GAC where I'd bought it, and I unlocked the shop and I put the amp back into the shop and sold it back to the shop the next day because I did not want to carry it back up the stairs to my house because it was so heavy. But the 68 series I absolutely adore, and the Twin is so good, but like I don't know who buys them because they really are just so loud. But perhaps I just need to get this out of my remove my sort of logistical brain from this situation, just because I can't imagine carrying it around. That's my only concern with all of these things.
Yeah. I do agree with you. I think certainly there are less and less people in this 50 watt or 100 watt camp for amp heads. Those who are still there are holding on for dear life, but loads more people are moving more towards, you know, 15 is very much the new 30, and everyone's moving towards 15 watt amps, 20 watt amps. The Origin 20 has been one of the, I think, probably the most popular amplifier this year, certainly.
Really?
That's
really interesting because I've not seen a lot of people like posting it up in it and the groups and stuff.
No,
posting
no,
up
true.
They bought one.
The attenuation on them just makes them so fantastically versatile. Because
so,
you know,
where can you go?
Home use as well.
Where can you go with those?
I think it's like
can you go 20 to 5 to 1.
I think it's 1, 5 and 20. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But you know, this kind of ties us into a bit of news that I was going to touch upon a little bit. But of course, there's been an article that has circulated this week. I think it was Guitar World who put this out. But John Mayer did an interview with them, and he said that when he when he's playing on people's sessions, so not his own stuff, but when he's turning up at sessions to do guest solos or guest guitar parts, he doesn't bring an amp. He records all of his guitars through his Akai MPC.
I'm sure PRS are well happy with that, with the £7,000 amplifier that they're currently selling.
He is absolutely such a mug. Why would you say that? I mean, but here's the thing. I found myself reading the article, because of course, everyone who's posted about it has gone through a very sensationalist title. And it is, of course, it's John Mayer doing what he does best, which is being a contentious little... But he he's certainly... As I read the article, I realized basically his argument, what he was saying was, look at, you know, Jimi Hendrix. He wasn't using retro gear. He was using the latest gear that he had available to him, as were the Beatles, as were everyone who was, you know, creating the pathway for music to move forward and progress. And it's only in recent years that everyone's become such purists and so dedicated to the old original things that no one's moving forward and no one's advancing. And he cites this as being strongly a reason for guitar falling out of favor in mainstream music, due to the fact that it's difficult. What happens? You turn up at a session, with your 50 watt, with your 100 watt rig? Maybe you turn up with a 20 watt rig and your guitar and a mic that you favor miking up your amp with, and maybe a few pedals. It's when you think that most other instruments are now being recorded digitally, it becomes a problem. And certainly that signal, once you plug that guitar into the amplifier with those pedals, that is finite. That's done. That's what the producer has to work with. And so from a producer's perspective, they would much rather have a clean DI'd signal that they can maybe reamp at a later date through a nice vintage amplifier, or maybe not. Maybe they'll use some of the many incredible amp sims you have available that will allow you to make that guitar sound exactly right and exactly as it needs to for that track, so it can sit in the pocket. And that was his argument behind it. And he was saying that's why he does that, and he thinks that guitarists should modernize maybe a touch more than they are. But it is sort of an interesting... I thought that had a lot in common with what we're talking about here, where we're like, oh, 40 watts, that's way too much. I mean, that's exactly what John Mayer's saying.
Or maybe what he's saying is that he cares less about other people's the way that his guitar sounds on other people's songs than he does on his own.
Yes, that is also well the case. So bringing it right back to the question, what are we thinking? What are our...
I don't know.
Suggestions?
It's a tricky one. A 40 watt combo, I think.
Ignore that. Let's ignore that and say he wants headroom. He wants headroom. Okay, it doesn't have to be 40. I mean, I actually think it's something like a Hughes and Kettner, one of the Tube Meister 36s.
No, I don't think so. I think that is with the caliber of the amps that he's talking about here. I think the Hughes and Kettner Tube Meister is a very good amp for the money. But I mean,
they're £1,000.
Yeah, but you know, the 68 Twin is £1,500, and a JTM 45. I mean, what's a JTM 40? I mean, they were got to be that sort of money, haven't they? I mean, I think you can pick up
a 74X on eBay for maybe like $700 to $800. I just think, like, if you're after a Marshall, like,
that's the best one.
Well, the thing is, I'm guessing if you want that sound, you want the Marshall sound, you want that touch of like hair and that breakup on that note, you're never going to get it with a 62 blues breaker. You've got to go for the 74.
Yeah,
and I think really you're not getting the best out of an amp. I think for me the best 40 watt valve combo, you know, valve combo, Hot Rod Deluxe.
Great, but I suppose you will get the headroom. I mean, it really depends on what it is.
You'll get the headroom because you'll never be able to turn it up, and then it's got a drive channel. So, you know, I think really if you're after tone, as it were, because you want to drive the amp a little bit, and you want a combo.
Well, but
he
wants single channel.
Yeah, well, it can still take pedals, but you probably want to like work the valves a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I like the idea of 68, but then I do like the idea of an AC30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course,
you get hand wired. You know, they're still kind of within the price point. Who here has tried the PRS Archon? The Archon? It's 50 watts, so it's slightly more, but it's a 112 combo. It sounds great. It's not single channel, but it tons of headroom. No, cleans up really well.
No, the only I remember briefly trying one of the more expensive ones. There was a few metallers in the last shop I worked in that were trying them. The other thing that kind of springs to mind, but it's not a combo, it's like a Victory, like a V40, which is based off a kind of Fender. The V40 is obviously like single channel, 40 watts, high or low powered mode, single channel, no real drive to speak of. You can get it to break up, but you're talking 999, but you'd still need a cab. I mean, a cab's not going to set you back a huge amount of money. But, you know, that's always an option. But I don't know. If I had to buy an amp right now that took pedals really well, that was still really loud, I'd really be tempted for a Marshall, a 74X. I mean, I'm tempted to buy one. I've been looking at them recently myself going, actually, that's a great pedal amp and they sound wicked.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I couldn't agree more. What a fantastic amplifier. If you've never owned one, go out and buy one immediately.
And I think we're still talking £1,000 mark. I think if you're going up, you know, I've got £2,000 to spend and I still don't want boutique, then, you know, because I mean at 18.99, I think, I mean, my all-time favorite
amp. That's Great British Pounds.
Yes, Great British Pounds. My all-time favorite amp, which is the amp I use, is a Morgan PR12, which is a souped-up Princeton. 12 watts. The headroom is massive. But because of the Mercury magnetic transformers, those beefed-up transformers, it's so much bottom end. I mean, and it's not like they're so boutique that they're impossible to find.
I mean the obvious actual solution to this is 3 Blues Juniors, I think.
Yeah, 4 or 5 watts.
Yeah, exactly. All you ever need. Yeah. Well, there's some food for thought anyway, if we can't all agree on something. Certainly, I think maybe some slightly better suggestions than the ones that you've come up with there, Luke. But, you know, don't take my word for it. Let's move on. Matt Tobin says, okay, I've played a PRS CE today and I loved it, but I don't know if I'm a PRS type of guy. Obviously, what he means is he is not a dental practitioner. And he wants something with 2 humbuckers and a trem, but he doesn't like the super strat style. Help me out, nerds. Should I note... I should note my main guitar is a Les Paul, and I want something kind of different.
It's a weird one, because I would say... people say, I don't know if I'm a PRS guy, and I always like, if you like playing it, does it matter? There was a rant.
I mean,
going on,
Matt, you know, on that sentiment, I like the feel of latex. I don't walk around in a rubber suit all day.
don't you?
I really.
Who have I been?
So what you're saying here is that the only reason that you don't play PRS is because of societal pressures and this caricature that you've built up for yourself, Joe.
Yes. Yeah. I've nearly bought a PRS a couple of times.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Is it just you know, I think this is it. I think that a lot of the time people do have this, and you know, I think we're as guilty of it as anyone. There is like this kind of like, it's seen as the sort of the uncool sibling of the guitar world is the PRS, but you know, I mean,
they are very uncool.
Well,
they're extraordinary. Like those headstocks are really uncool.
I mean, all you're doing here is proving my point.
I know.
Well, it reminds me of another thing that was going on a forum the other day where someone was talking about the JHS Bonsai, being like, oh, what do you think? You know, it's got 9 tube screamers in. And everyone was like, audience member won't be able to tell the difference. What does it matter? And I was like, but at the same time, it's like, it matters to you as the player.
Totally.
It's like
totally.
If you are into it and you hear the difference and you like the sound of one compared to the other, it doesn't matter in a way what the audience can hear.
Yeah, I think
you're enjoying
it.
And I think that's the thing with the PRS thing. It's like if you play the guitar and you like it, you know, I always remember like people coming into store and being like, right, I want a guitar. And they reel off this huge list of specs that narrows it down to like 2 instruments. And they're like, yeah, I just wouldn't play anything else. And then you just kind of throw a wild card in there. Don't really tell them that it's missing one key part of their spec. They're like, it's the best one I've played. I'm like, yeah, it's totally missing out this huge part of what you wanted from a guitar. And they're like, oh, right. It's just, like, I think sometimes people narrow themselves down too much. I'm like, if you play a bunch of guitars and it sounds good and it feels good, then whatever.
Do you know what I've actually been messing around on quite a lot? It's been in my office for the bulk of last week, and this is
Joe's one of the PRS... demo deal of the week.
Yeah. I actually really do need to ex-demo it because it's been sitting next to my desk and there's a leak in the roof. But the PRS Bernie Marsden, one of the most affordable PRSs you can get at the moment.
What, one of the reissues?
Yeah, yeah.
One of the ones that came out like a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know if it's the new colour. So there were new colours, weren't there? There was a grey and there was like a...
There was. We talked about it. We talked about it maybe a week or two ago, and we made a big deal of the fact that there's only 100 of each colour, if I remember correctly. And what you're saying is you've got one just knocking about by your desk that you now need to ex-demo because you've been playing around with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's right. how far into this podcast are we, like 45 minutes, fingers crossed?
Something like that, yeah.
Fingers crossed your employer isn't has got bored by now. I'm sure they
don't have the longevity to get through this podcast. No, I wanted to try out some weird gauge strings, so I got a guitar and stuck some 13s on it, and it was this PRS Bernie Marsden, but it's absolutely fantastic for the money. I think they're like £500 for like an SE PRS. Really got a lot of time, and the best thing is they're not so bling. That's my number one problem with PRS most of the time, is just how over the top blingy they are. This one was nice and subtle. Well done, Bernie. You've made a good one.
It's based on it's based on Les Paul.
It's Les Paul, yeah.
That's why it's not blingy.
So what do we think? What's our answer for Matt Tobin on this one?
Just buy a guitar that you like.
Yeah, I mean the PRS CE is a fantastic guitar, and it's a great Les Paul alternative, especially if you're so used to Les Paul, because it's not a million, like PRS aren't a million miles away from that sort of Gibson-y thing, but the CE is a perfect halfway house, being a bolt-on. It's just a little bit snappier, and you know, you can get those stratty tones out of it, so you can get something quite Fendery, but with a bit more balls. And,
I think it's one of the only modern guitars that covers the dual humbucker trem thing really, really well.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Is it it might not have a... There's one model that has the trem that's like a satin finish as well. Because he doesn't want the super strat style, so I'm guessing like the CE24s. But there was like... Oh, maybe. Oh, actually, was that the one that we're looking at? PRS.
The CE24.
Yeah, CE24. Yeah.
Oh, man,
I was just having a look.
Guitars for the money, like especially one of the satin ones. They're not much. I mean, with a trem, that is a.
I can't believe
guitar.
The quality of finish that PRS were putting out on those guitars for the price that they were selling them at. It didn't make any sense. It was really offset, like. If those CEs had been £2,500, hey, if those CEs had been made by Gibson, they would be £3,500, and we'd be going, man, that's a great finish for £3,500. But yeah,
I remember when these first came into the shop, and I didn't really get it then, but I remember you, Matt, just being like so enamored with it. You just absolutely loved them.
Yeah, I guess the only option, the other option, but then he says he doesn't really like the super strat style. I mean, I really into this Charvel Pro Mod San Dimas, something like the FR, which is like they do a Floyd, they do a normal trem version, Strat dual humbuckers with a trem. I mean, that's a great rock guitar. And I think those like pickup combinations are like JB and a Jazz, so it does everything from kind of the cleaner sounds to something a little bit more rocking without being like a metal guitar. Because I think a lot of people think, oh, Charvel, it's like a metal guitar. It's like, they're totally not.
Yeah, they're certainly proving that at the moment.
Here's one for you. What about a bit of a curveball? If you want something that feels that that like HH trem spec, but is maybe, you know, a bit of a step away from the sort of the PRS vibe, what about the Music Man Sterling, Stingrays, the new Stingray guitars that came out fairly recently?
Fantastic idea. A lovely sort of double humbucker Strat-esque sort of offset. What a lovely guitar, and of course, great. Really, really well built and great, great for the money as
well. Like roasted necks and, you know, some great color combinations. That coral red is lovely. It's really
they're absolutely great. Really underrated. There's an interesting version of the Stingray that I
Stingray
that I hope,
RS is the name.
I hope there's an alternative, a signature model coming out soon, which I hope hits the general market, which is a single cool strap pickup in the neck and then a humbucker in the bridge. And it's the signature model of, I can't remember his name, the
can
singer.
Can you talk about this? Is this
Oh, yeah,
announced?
Yeah. No, it's out. Yeah, you can watch videos of it. It's been sort of launched. It's the guitarist from Thrice.
He's got a really
lovely looking Music Man Stingray guitar, which he's using with his Line 6 Helix setup in a couple of videos. He's done a video both for Helix and for Music Man on sort of the parts of his rig. But yeah, really, really interesting. Definitely worth a watch.
Cool. Dustin Kenshaw.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, gentlemen, we have reached the end of this week's podcast. We're about up at time, but we are going to continue over on the Patreon version of this podcast, where this week we're going to be asking, what is the best baked maple necked guitar on the market today? And we're going to be having a look at the Charvel DK24, the Ibanez AZ, the Music Man James Valentine, and the Reverend Descent. We may throw in a couple of additional curveballs as well, but we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, if you want to check out the Patreon episode, you can support us for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you the extra half an hour Patreon episode, plus access to bonus features and miniseries such as the Brantons Rant On. $10 a month makes you one of our executive backers, granting you access to everything already mentioned, plus the prestigious honor of having your name read out in one breath by me. Are you ready, guys?
We're going to need something. Jay.
I'm ready. Matt, it was my idea last time. I did the Star Trek thing.
Oh, I should have broken out my drum machine.
I'll be happy to do it again.
All right, I'm going
to
start. Let's go.
You know what? I think we should. I think it should be eerie, deathly silence.
Yeah, that's okay. Let's do it.
Or I could just unmute the football that I'm watching and we could just have that in the background if you want.
Leave that muted. It's fine.
Oh, okay, fine.
Stephen Conrady, Scott Hamilton, Ivor John Mayer, Merritt Peters, Golden G. Richard III, Sean Arbo, Joshua Mitchell, Chris Wolfman Cuthbertson, Ryan McDermott, Robert Cousins, Rob Grill, Nate Nagel, Tucker Abaddon, Ernie Cooper, Emily James Baker, Christoph Raptor, Zane Omar, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Derek Fitzum, Martin Cliff, Matt Davis, Aaron Sherman, Blake Weiland, Jake Gray, Christopher Loseth, Juan Correa, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Nordwick, Rob Grant, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Carlos Mantra, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Mark Cross, Brad Page, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Ansis, Paul Corrigan, Wheel Claire, Scott O'Brien, Wheel Toms, and Moon Gravett. Colin Anderson!
I don't like it without the music because it doesn't seem as challenging. it feels like
you sounded like you were struggling there.
Nah, I had it. I was just like, I was seeing suspense. How much more breath I could. I'm trying to prep myself for this this Patreon special where I'm going to read out all the names on the back of an Ernie Ball pack of strings. I did actually try that before we podcasted today. And,
don't no spoilers.
Right. Okay. Well, I tell you what, I'm having to like put in some training to complete it because there are a lot.
You could go swimming and stuff. Build up that lung capacity.
Yeah. Well,
smoking helps, I hear. Taking up smoking is meant to be like really good for increasing your lung capacity.
I'm not a big fan of swimming, so I was thinking of watching. I was just gonna watch Thunder in Paradise with Hulk Hogan instead.
Speaking of Hulk Hogan, I watched a great documentary on Andre the Giant last week, which is really worth watch, and Hulk is in it a lot, obviously. I think it was a Sky Arts thing. It's really good. I definitely recommend watching it.
Fantastic. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Guitar Nerds, or on YouTube at Guitar Nerds Videos. You can even visit our website, guitarnerds.net, where all our various channels are displayed in all of their glory, and you can even purchase Guitar Nerds merchandise and become a true member of the club. That's it from us for this week. We'll catch you next time for some more guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Right.
Cheers, gang.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.